There is a beautiful spiritual intensity in these days. They began this morning with the celebration of the Chrism Mass, in which the sacred oils were blessed, in which we celebrated the birth of the priesthood, which we celebrate today. So make sure when you see your priest this weekend that you congratulate them on their feast day today. They renewed their, we all renewed our priestly promises. And then tonight we begin this sacred triduum with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. That takes us right back to that upper room where Jesus gathered for the last time with his apostles for a Passover meal. I could only imagine what was going through his mind and in his heart. He knew that his hour had come. The Gospel of John speaks a lot about this hour. At one point in the beginning of the Gospel, when the Blessed Mother wants him to change water into wine, to take care of a situation at a wedding, his response was, "My hour has not come." She didn't really listen to him. And he had to do a miracle anyway. But he knew that there was an hour. That hour wasn't just a moment of time. It was the hour of grace, of the eruption of grace in time, and the redemptive act of God through Christ. The hour. It was the hour in which he would be revealed. He would be glorified in perfection and completion. And he gathers as a good Jew to celebrate this Passover, which now will be redefined, reoriented. He gathers with these apostles, and what a crowd they were. They were an interesting crowd. They never really got it. They really didn't. Throughout most of his public ministry, they were just kind of off. Just kind of off all the time. In many ways, when I look at those scenes of the Last Supper, it's a source of great consolation to me, actually, because I never totally get it either. And neither do you. We never get it. We're always a little bit off, not totally getting it. And these guys were called by Christ to perpetuate his presence, to be the foundation of the church. I'm sure that as he's sitting looking at this group of guys, he's probably saying to his Father, "Lord, we're in trouble." We really are in trouble. We really would have not hired any one of them today. He knew that of this crowd, one had already cut a deal. He had already cut a deal. And would betray him. The other one, who at one point got the question right, "Who do you say that I am?" "Oh, you're the Christ." I could always imagine Peter, right? Always wanting to get the answer, right? There was a show in the 70s called Welcome Back, Cotter. Those of you who are dated, let's say, or more seasoned, would remember Horshack, right? He always wanted to get the answer. Well, that was Peter. He always wanted to get the answer, but he always got it wrong. Peter always kind of like didn't get it right. He doesn't get it right tonight either. He sticks his foot in his mouth. And he really will stick his foot in his mouth tomorrow. After being forewarned that he would betray him, and he says, "Oh, not me. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to betray you." And Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, please. let me tell you, Peter. You will deny you ever even knew me." And we know the rest of that story, don't we? And the rest of them, well, they all ran for the hills. They weren't any better. Tradition has said that John was a beloved disciple, that he stuck around. The Gospel of John never actually names a beloved disciple. Maybe the beloved disciple is those who stayed. Anyone who stays in moments of cross and suffering and difficulty. And Jesus does this incredible act of humility, of washing the feet of one who will betray him, who will sell him out, another one who will deny him, and he will wash the feet of all these guys who will use those feet to run to the hills later on. He knew it. I wonder what he was feeling in his heart. No wonder he says to them, what I am doing, you won't understand now. You really won't understand. But he says, but you will. You will in time. But right now, you won't really understand. Pope Francis calls that moment an act of the tenderness of God. The tenderness of God. It's very kind of hidden in the English language in that gospel. And we could just gloss right over it. But in that gospel, Jesus says, you call me master and teacher. And then he uses a phrase. He actually uses the sacred name, I am. That's used several times in the Gospel of John, right? I am the light. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am is the sacred name. It's Yahweh. That was not allowed to be spoken. And for the Jewish people of his time, for Jesus to say that, I am, would be for equivalent for me to get up here today and say, I am the Christ. If I were to seriously say that, I would last in this role but an hour. Somewhere along the line, someone would come and, like, you know, like those hooks, take you right out. You could do lots of things, but you're not going to go saying that you are the Christ. Well, Jesus says, I am. I am. The sacred name. He attributes that name to him. He is saying he is God. And now God is going to wash the feet of one who will betray him, one who will deny him, and the rest, frankly, run for the hills. Let me share with you some words from our Holy Father that I found a while ago, actually called the tenderness of God. This sign is the humility of God taken to the extreme. Taken to the extreme. It is the love with which that night he assumed our frailty, our suffering, our anxieties, our desires, and our limitations. The message that everyone was expecting, that everyone was searching for in the depths of their souls, was none other than the tenderness of God. God who looks upon us with eyes full of love, who accepts our poverty. God who is in love with our smallness. That same night, he will leave us a powerful sign of his presence. We started off that gospel hearing him say that he knew that his hour had come. He knew that he had to go. The time had come. But he also wanted to stay. We've been like that in situations like many times, right? We know we have to go, but at the same time, we want to stay. We know we have to go. We want to stay. So he found a powerful sign, simple sign, tender sign of his love to leave in our midst. And that was the Eucharist. Simple and fragile as it is, and powerfully transforming as it is. And tonight we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, in which the Lord continually washes our feet. And at one point or another, we might say, well, Lord, you're not washing my feet like Peter did, because at the end, he never got it right, right? Even at the very end, right? You want to look at Peter and says, will you just shut up? You know, he said, just chill. Just watch, listen. Don't say anything. But he did the math, though. When Jesus said, you know, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part of me. He does the math really quick. Well, then not only wash my feet, but my hands and my head too. To Peter, to his friends gathered that night, he wanted to leave them and us a perpetual, powerful sign of his presence. A powerful sign of the presence of the event that would take place the following day, which is what we celebrate on that altar as we celebrate the Paschal mystery. And I'll leave you with this thought from St. Teresa of Calcutta. When you look at the crucifix, you understand how much Jesus loved you then. When you look at the host, the sacred host, you understand how much Jesus loves you now.